Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I am Srividya Chandrasekaran. I am a PM in Skype Developer Platform. And in today's session, we're going to talk about how to do deep dive on Skype Web SDK and get yourself started in actually writing an app using the Web SDK and embedding communications in your applications. Similarly, we also have the Skype for Business App SDK, which you can use to embed communications inside of your native iOS and Android app. So that's the other part of the session where we are going to show you how to actually get started, get going, and do it. So welcome to our session here. I have my colleagues over here. I'm going to introduce you to them in a bit. Before we do that, by a show of hands, how many of you are familiar with the Skype developer platform and have already written apps using that? Very cool. How many of you have developed for Skype for Business Online already? Very cool, very cool. Welcome to our session. I'm going to introduce Sid here and Amit over there. These are my two colleagues that are going to be doing the deep dive into each of the session. With that, let's get started. What are the main objectives here? I kind of briefly spoke about it just a few seconds ago. Our goal is just come here, get started, show you how we can get communications inside your own apps, your web apps, your tablet apps, your mobile apps, and how can you do it with a lot of ease. And we're also going to start off with where do you find stuff, how do you get started, how do you bootstrap yourself to the point of how do you actually complete writing a very, very simple app. So that's the goal of this session. We have a lot of content, so we're going to be going in a pace. If you have questions, feel free to ask it at the end of the session. We'll be around here, and we'll be happy to answer all the questions, even if we run over time. So let's start off with a few things here. How many of you have been at the platform overview session yesterday? Lovely. So that's great. That means you are already familiar with the scenarios you can light up. Briefly, let's talk about what is it that you can do with SDKs like this, embedding communications in your app. A few things. For example, if you have a line of business app, you are a teller in a bank and you want to contact your colleague inside of the same bank, and your primary working portal is your banking app. If you have embedded presence, you can actually just hover over your user or however you want to surface the presence and have a chat conversation right there from within your web app. So that's a scenario for embedded conversations. The other scenario we're targeting is a virtual advisor, remote healthcare scenario. Meaning, say you are a financial advisor and you have an elite set of customers that you are actually providing audio-video consultation with. And your customer does not really need or have Skype for Business licenses. Inside your own app, your own banking app, for example, how are you going to embed Skype in there so that you can immediately have that communication and have that face-to-face personal experience with your customers? That is a very powerful scenario. So these are the two scenarios that we are going to focus and target in this session. So let's start off with a demo so we can orient and kind of give you what it looks like. Amit, do you want to introduce yourself? And
hi, I'm Amit. I'm a principal developer on the Skype for Business app platform. And the demo that we're going to show you is, as Sri mentioned, it's about a banking app which has the Skype for Business app SDK integrated into it. So let me get this screen up and running. So here's an example of a banking app. Since this is a mock app that we have built, I really am not going to put in any credentials to sign in. But just go ahead and click that sign in button. Oh, sorry, I'm doing it on the wrong device. So here you have the original banking app. What we have done is we have added the Ask Agent support button in here, which actually links against the Skype for Business app SDK that has been integrated into this banking demo app. So to quickly show you, Sri is going to act as the counterpoint that is going to be the bank representative who is on a Skype for Business endpoint. And I'm the customer who logged in into his account. I saw a discrepancy in the bank balance, want to contact the agent. And here's my option. Without exiting the context of this application, I'm able to invoke a communication channel to the banking representative and have a video chat right there.
And right there, we have that personalized experience, and I, as a financial advisor, am able to serve my customer and therefore build that relationship and my business. So here is an example. So this is a working example of how you can embed communications and add value to your business process. Let's do one other scenario here as well. For those of you that were in the platform session yesterday, you have seen the Salesforce demo that we did. So this is a line of business web integration, line of business app integration that we did using our web SDK. So for those of you that didn't see the session yesterday, thank you. Let's do a very, very quick demo. So this is actually going out in open pilot and will be announced next week in the Dreamforce conference as well. So the scenario is I am a sales representative, I am in my Salesforce app. This is my primary bread and butter, and this is what is my business value. I am here, I am working on an opportunity. I have messaged a colleague of mine, or I have put a note for a colleague of mine to respond to some particular partnership deal we were working on, and he has not responded back. What do? I actually go here. I hover over this user, and I am seeing that he's actually available. For this demo, I have actually signed in as the other user on my phone, but this user can be a real user out there anywhere, maybe in his car, maybe in his home. So I just am, from right there, from within their experience, able to message to this user. Now, the second user, I can get it, and we decided we wanted to have a call, really quick call right there, because we need to close on this right now. And we start out a little video call. And right there, let me turn the video on here real quick. And there. So this is a very, very powerful scenario. All of this is using this little Skype conversation UI, which is part of the web SDK. Sid here is going to show how to get started on that. And very, very quickly, in the next 30 minutes, show you how to embed that inside of your web apps. So with that, let's talk a little bit about the architecture of how we are laying this out. Let me switch the... Thank you. Perfect. So let's briefly see how is the Skype developer platform laid out. We have a stack of Skype servers, Skype capabilities that we natively support. On top of that, we have a platform layer that consists of a whole bunch of REST services. What was earlier called as UCWA, we are just calling it as User API going forward. There are too many four-letter acronyms here. It has a specific object model. And what we have done is we have these two specific client APIs, the web app, the web SDK, and the Skype for Business app SDK, talking directly into our user API REST stack there. We enable a lot of scenarios, different scenarios for web and different scenarios for the Skype, the app SDK as of today. And we are going to briefly show you some of the capabilities that are available. But right now, we have instant messaging, as you just saw. We have presence. We have meeting join. We have support for online, which we released earlier this year. And we have embedded audio video, like you just saw, that is in preview for the general public. All right. So let's get a little bit deeper now compared to the earlier scenarios and overall architecture. So web SDK. So you're seeing this picture. You probably have seen this in yesterday's session as well. The green box out there, that's your application. In the demo we showed, that is the Salesforce application. They have their own set of HTML and JavaScript. What they're doing is they are having a reference to the Skype web SDK inside of their web app. This is exactly the same thing that Sid's going to be showing over here. What do we have inside the Skype web SDK which makes it so easy and so powerful to actually get this going on inside of your apps? We have a very strong JavaScript object model layer which abstracts all the authentication, the authorization, all the event handling, the batching, everything that we internally do to optimize for Skype for Business servers, and abstract that out from you, developers, so that all you need to do is come in, use this API, use our UI controls. We have a Skype conversation UI as well that Sid's going to be showing, and then get started with your application pretty quickly. With that, Sid's going to be doing the deep dive and the code walkthrough.
Hi, everyone. I'm Siddharth. I go by Sid, and I'm a dev on the Skype Web SDK team. So you've seen a bunch of demos so far. I think it's time to get into some code. So I'll be walking you through how to create a very simple application that embeds Skype communication into the app. So before we get started, so that's just my bare bones app, nothing much to it. There we go. That's a very simple UI. So I'll show you how to build this and actually embed the Skype conversation UI into it. There are some prerequisites to this. Before we get started, you need to know that you're signing to Skype for Business Online. And to do this, you need to have two things. So you have an Office 365 subscription with Skype licenses assigned to users. Once you have that, you need to create an application on Azure Active Directory. And the reason for this is because in order to sign into Skype for Business Online, we use OAuth implicit auth flow, which means we require a token to come to us from AAD. And to do this, you need to go to AAD, which is Azure Active Directory, register an application there, and use that when you do the sign-in. So I'll walk you through all this right now, but just remember those two prerequisites. So I'm not actually going to show you the Office 365 subscription itself, but then I think you all have a handle of that. There's documentation on MSDN on how to do that. Here I have my Azure subscription. So if you can see, this is my Active Directory, JLink. I have an Active Directory. I go to App Registrations. I have an application called Skype Web SDK. Note the application ID. This gets used in the code later. So starting with 23C, let's go and configure the application. So I've already preset this. You'll have to do this on your own, but you can follow the steps. Give it a name. All this can be specified here. So let's say properties. Give it a name, application ID set. You give it a homepage URL. Just scroll down. So the homepage URL is typically where your user would go and sign in. You give the homepage URL. The app type is a web app. And then I've set it to be a multi-tenant app. So what this means is I have a tenant on Azure, and I've created an app for that. But this tenant can allow users from other tenants to sign in. So you typically set it to multi-tenant here. Apart from this, we also have to set a number of reply URLs. So as I mentioned, Skype uses OAuth implicit auth flow, which means your application that you build has to redirect to Azure Active Directory. The user enters his credentials there, and then Azure will redirect back to your app. We pick up the access token from there and continue with Skype sign-in. Now, in order for Azure to know that you are valid and this app is allowed to use you, you have to specify certain reply URLs. I've specified a few here. These are typically ones that I do my development with. This is the one that I'm going to be using, Skype Web SDK, and I'll also show you something on localhost. Typically, you don't use localhost just for debugging, and there's one catch with IE that you need to be aware of, which is something that many users face. I'll go through this in a bit later. Apart from the reply URLs, required permissions, this is one more important thing. You add Skype as an application, and choose delegated permissions. So we have 5 right now, 2 of them in preview. What this means is this application is going to be allowed to access all this functionality on behalf of the user. So it's called a delegated permission. So there's a concept of scopes. There's documentation online in MSDN for this. But what this says is I'm going to be able to read and write Skype contacts, receive invites, send invites, create Skype meetings, read user data. So anyway, I've selected all these scopes for myself. My application supports all this. Go back here, nothing to do with keys. And one last very important step. Give me 1 second. This setting here, this setting. You have to edit the manifest and set OAuth to implicit auth flow to true. This is turned off by default. This is false. Users tend to miss this. Make sure you don't. Once you set this to true, Azure Active Directory will give us back a token, which we use to sign in. Without this, it won't. So this is very important. Make sure to do this and save it. And that's as far as we need to go with Azure itself. I think let's go back to the app. So I think let me show you how to actually sign in now and what the app looks like. So I'm going to open an in private window, go to localhost demo. I'll keep my Chrome DevTools running. Okay, app. So like I mentioned, as soon as you click on app, I'm going to redirect to AD because I've not signed in, of course. Sign myself in. Sign in. And wait for sign in to complete. And as you can see, sign in failed. So if I zoom in, this is the error, OAuth failed. I'll explain this in a bit, but this is a very common error that users face. And since it's a code demo, I'm just going to go in a little more deep. I'll explain why this happens. We'll take a look at Fiddler. So once again, zoom in. So if you see here, we've got a bunch of stuff going on. I've downloaded the SDK. I start signing in. I hit a 401. So sign in is the process of discovering where the user is homed online. And during the process, I hit a 401, which is basically the user is unauthenticated. What we do then is we go to AAD. I'll show you the code a little bit. We go to AAD, ask AAD to sign in. The user signs in, comes back with the token. And a 302 typically means you've got the token. But if you look at the response itself, I think I'll just copy this out to Notepad. If you look at the error, it says it clearly. A sign-in request was sent, but no user is signed in. The cookies used to represent the user session were not sent in the request. Now, this is a very common error, and this happens because I used localhost. If you can see here, I use localhost. And the reason for this is because localhost is a local machine security zone in IE, versus AADs in the public, like the internet zone, so cookie sharing is not allowed. One way you can work around this, I'm just going to use a custom domain that I've set. So this makes it look like it's an internet application. Internet zone, AADs on the internet zone, cookie sharing is okay, everything should be fine now. Let's go ahead and sign in and wait for it to get signed in. And as you can see, signed in successfully. Once again, a quick look at the Fiddler trace. Process of sign in itself. So you can see I've downloaded the SDK. And here is the important one. You see here the request, the response from AAD comes back with the access token, which you can see on your screen right there. Again, it's a 302 response. Once we get that, what we do is we try and post an application to UCWA, which is the backend service. A 201 to post on applications here means the application is created, typically means you've signed in. Sure. Yes, so exactly, good point. So For IE, I've done this. What I've done is I've set up skype.web.sdk as a domain in the host file. You could do that, or you could always host your app in Azure and put up the code there and run it from Azure. You shouldn't have this issue. And just a note, Edge and Chrome don't have this issue. The security zone thing is only with IE. Okay, so I mean, I think that should be sufficient for sign-in. Let's take a look at the code itself. Just give me one second. Very simple code, very small app. I've got a few files that I'll walk through. And let's start with index.html. Ignore most of the stuff. This is just UI stuff. The most important thing for you here is this script, the Bootstrapper. And the Bootstrapper is basically your entry point into the Skype SDK. It's just one script. You put it there. As soon as the app loads, we download the Bootstrapper. I'll show you the code that actually calls into the Bootstrapper and downloads the SDK. We don't actually allow you to directly download the SDK. And the reason for this is we can do faster updates if we control the pace at which we download. So that's just the only script that you require here. The rest of it is just part of the demo. Go to signin.js. If you remember, I mentioned the client ID 23C. I've set that up here. This is my client ID. And so as soon as the user loads the page, you notice that I got redirected to AD. The way I do this is I'm checking the location hash, seeing if there's an access token. If there's no access token, I'm going to assign to AAD. So basically, go to login.microsoftonline.com. Let me zoom in here. login.microsoftonline.com with that client ID. I'm redirecting back to the location where I came from, and the resource doesn't change here. So I think the only thing that you need to change here is the client ID. Set it up to whatever client ID you created for your app. That's the first part of the flow. You get redirected to AD here. User enters his credentials. You get redirected back to this URI, the redirect URI. In this case, it's this app. And here is the call to the Bootstrapper, skype.initialize. You call initialize with an API key. Initialize is a function that's defined in the Bootstrapper, which knows, given this API key, how do I go and fetch the code for you? It does all the magic behind the scenes. You just have to note, this API key is something that I set up for the purpose of this demo. It's not publicly available. MSDN has documentation of the actual API keys that you need to use, both public and preview. Given the API key, you're going to get initialized. Everything gets downloaded. The SDK gets downloaded. And here I have the most important object as part of this flow, the API object. Let's go to it again. There are two things that you need to know here. API.UI application instance is sort of a misnomer, but it's the Skype Web SDK base app. Take that, save it locally. The API itself is your entry point to using the conversation control, basically the Skype conversation UI that Sri showed you a little bit earlier. Make sure to save these two. That's it for Skype initialize. We're using promises, so you can see you've got the continuations. And once you've saved those two, make the call to sign in. The call to sign in is really simple. You have the app object. You've got sign in manager, sign in with a bunch of parameters. The first one is basically the version name of your app. Client ID, use the same client ID that you set up before. Origins, this is something that you don't change. This is a way for us to do our auto discovery and find where the user is homed online. No changes here for you. Cause, set this to true. This is because there are a bunch of cross-domain requests going out. And again, a common error that users hit here, they don't set cause to true, and then they see things like, you see a 403, and it says, okay, this service does not allow cross-domain requests from this origin. If you see that and you're doing this public app, make sure you set cause true. That's the reason that fails. The last one is a pretty important parameter, the redirect URI. People tend to get this wrong sometimes. Make sure you set it in a subfolder of your base web app folder. So typically, I have this is my web app folder. I've created a folder called random, and I put an empty file. There's nothing, almost nothing, basically, just an empty HTML file. And the reason we do this is because IE and Edge sometimes tend to lose the access token if there's an index.html file in the same base folder. So what you do is you set up a redirect URI that's like one step below your base application folder. And that's it. That's just one call to sign in. You get signed in. As soon as I signed in, I'm just doing this. attaching an event handler to the conversation added event. So whenever a conversation is added, I'm going to call this function on conversation added, which I'll walk through in a bit. I think that should be good for sign-in. That's it. So it's just simple code, one redirect, one Skype initialize, and one sign-in call. Let's go back to the demo itself. Let's make an outgoing call to Sri. Okay. So this is the Skype conversation UI. I think you saw this in Sri's demo as well. The reason we encourage you to use this is because this is fully featured. It encapsulates all the logic around state management, event management, binding video streams to the UI, and then call connection states. Everything is taken care of for you. Call transferring and device management, everything is taken care of. So if you use this, you're almost done. I'll show you the code behind for this, but let's just do a video call. Oh, I haven't installed the plugin. So I don't know if you know, but IE requires you to use plugins to do media, and Edge uses ORTC. So I'm running it on IE. Let me install the plugin. Another advantage of using the conversation UI here, we've encapsulated the whole plugin installation flow, so you don't have to worry about it. Just click install. Hopefully this downloads fast. Yes, run the installer. And then that's it, call Sri. And yes, that's a plugin for Mac as well. So Sri's gonna get a call now, hopefully. And she's got the call. And she's going to start her video. So there you can see it. My video, her video. We've got full video on IE.
Yes,
did you stop video?
Yes.
Okay, right. And you've got messaging as well. Okay. So that's pretty straightforward. I'll show you the code behind for this. Let's send the call. So all I have is one function, an outgoing conversation function. What am I doing here? The text box, I entered Sri's SIP URI, taking it, splitting it, just ignore that part. Important things to note here, I'm creating a div, which is where I'm going to host that conversation UI. Just an empty div, stick it in somewhere in your HTML, wherever you want it. And then, if you remember, I showed you the Convo Control API. Let me just refresh you on that one. As soon as Skype initialize finishes, you get the API object, which is the Convo Control UI. That object has a render conversation method. Call that, give it the div, give it the modalities, meaning chat, audio, video, whatever you want. Give it the participants you want to interact with, and that's it. You've got the conversation. Click the call button. Calling is done. So that's outgoing call. I think let's do an incoming call now. So I'll just clear the UI. Sri, can you give me a call? Okay, so, oops. Right, okay. So the toast that you just saw is something that I wrote up in jQuery UI. That's not something you need to worry about. Primary thing is you get a call, you get notified, accept the call. It's really straightforward. I'll show you the code behind. We've got the same thing going on here, audio, video, full-fledged experience. I'm just going to, there's, again, video. Let me end the call and go back to my incoming sample. Looks like a lot more code here, but then it's really simple. If you remember, I had a conversation added function that I added to my conversations manager added event. I get a conversation there, find who it's coming from, and then all I do is I note self-participant, that's me, my audio state, when it goes to notified, show me a toast. That's it. Let me go to the show toast logic. This is jQuery UI. You don't have to write it this way. It's up to you just for the purpose of the sample. But the important things to note here, yes, I clicked yes. I accept the toast. If I were to click no, I would just do audio service reject. And let's see what accept toast does. So we go now to accept toast. Again, really straightforward. Accept toast. I have the conversation there. I'm doing the same thing as before. Creating a div, st- taking that div into the conversation, into the UI, and then calling render conversation with my conversation, and that's about it. You've got incoming call working. So that's incoming. I think I've shown you a bunch of stuff on IE. Let me show you something on Edge instead. So I'm going to sign in on Edge here. Let's close IE. We don't need this anymore. So the reason I'm showing you on Edge is because I want to show you that we've got ORTC working as well. So media is different. But if you use the conversation control, it's totally transparent to you. Totally opaque to you. You don't really see what's happening. We've taken care of the plugin or ORTC logic behind the scenes. So I think we did an outgoing call, incoming call. Let's do a PSTN call, actually. So let me do, I'll call myself. That's my number. Just give me 1 second. Let me. Okay. I'm going to present my phone screen. So that's my phone right there. Oh. Go away. Okay. And I'm going to do PSTN calling. Calling myself. It should come to my phone. Okay. So there you go. I've got a call. It's full-fledged PSTN. You get these prompts on Edge to use a microphone and camera. You just go with it. And that's it. So you've got PSTN calling working. There's something that you need to note here. When you create the Azure subscription, in order to do PSTN, there's something additional that you have to select. And you have to assign this user a phone number. Key point to note, make sure to assign this user a phone number, and you just get PSTN working. Fully supported, the same conversation UI experience. Okay, so I'm going to end the call. And let me actually show you that incoming works as well. And this is really powerful. Now, somebody calls your number that you've configured in Office 365. It's a PSTN call. It could come on AT&T or T-Mobile. But in this case, since that number is registered with your Office 365 subscription, I'm actually going to get a call on my VoIP endpoint. So I'm just going to call this guy, Sid, SFB Meteo, is the one I'm going to call. It's a pure PSTN call. Should ring on a phone. But in this case, it should ring on my VoIP endpoint as well. I'm having a little network connectivity loss here. Right, so there you got it. Incoming call, accept. And yes, there you go. Full-fledged PSTN, outgoing, incoming, everything works. Same code, I haven't done any changes to the code. PSTN just works. Let me show you call transfer now. Sri, can you give me a call? Okay, so got a call from Sri. And let's say this is sort of like a receptionist scenario, if you will. And so I've got a call, and I need to transfer it to the right person. Plus button. Oh, before I go to transfer call, actually, there's something interesting here. You have full-fledged control of your camera, microphone. You can change this here. I have just one. I can't change it right now. But if you had additional devices on your laptop, you could just switch. So we go to transfer call. I'm just going to transfer it actually to my phone, so I'm going to do one. So let's say I need to step out for a bit, or this is the right person to talk to. I'm going to transfer the call. I can't actually project her screen, but what's happening in the background is her call is going to get transferred to my phone number. So this should happen in a bit. Again, I'm losing network here.
I think we lost the call.
The call got lost. Okay, let's try it again. Can you pick that up? So I'm having poor network connectivity here. That's why I'm losing the call. But let's see. So transfer call. There you go. So I've got a call from, I'm going to answer the call. And what's happened here is now the call, the VoIP call that I had got disconnected. The call got transferred to my phone or whoever else you want to call. And Sri is now connected to my phone. So pretty powerful scenario there. I'm going to end this. And let's go to the next one. So this is something called phone audio. Phone audio is basically a scenario where, let's say, you are moving in a situation where you don't have data, but you still want to call somebody on VoIP. How do you do that? And there's something called phone audio here. So what's going to happen, and before I do it, I'll explain. Skype is going to bridge the call. Sri is on a VoIP endpoint. It's going to call her on VoIP. It's going to call me on PSTN and bridge the call. So we can actually do this without me having any data. So I'm going to create a conversation with Sri. Create a conversation, and actually, not create a conversation. I'm just going to do phone audio. So in this case, there is no UI here because we're not actually doing VoIP here, but I should be able to show you my phone. Again, network, oh man. So Sri gets an invite, accept the invite. And I should subsequently get a call. This network is killing me. No? Maybe you try it again. Can you end the call?
Yeah.
Let's just do this again. Right, so there you go. Sri's got a call on VoIP. I've got my PSTN call. Everything's hooked up. And there's no VoIP here on my end. I can travel as is, and she's able to take the call with me. So let me just go through the code there. Again, very simple. So I showed you outgoing. I showed you incoming phone audio. Again, one really simple function. Most of it is not relevant to phone audio itself. I'm creating a conversation. Adding Sri as a participant. You can ignore this. I'm listening to phone audio service state changes. The important thing here, once I have a conversation set up with Sri, I'm just going to tell the phone audio service to start, and I'm going to give it the URI that I want to call. And that's it. It's called phone audio. That's all. Just one line of code, and then we're going to get bridged. Very easy. And my last demo is basically how you schedule meetings with Skype. So let's go back to that. So typically, you would schedule a meeting and then join it sometime in the future. I've just bundled that together. So when I click that button, it's going to pick up Sri, schedule a meeting, join the meeting with her. So I'll show you the code for that in a bit. But there we go. Schedule. So there we have it. Oh. And we have full audio in the call. Ignore this part. I actually created it twice. I clicked the button twice. But you have a meeting. Sri's on the meeting. I'm on the meeting. And scheduled, joined, all done successfully. If I show you the code behind for this, schedule meeting, let's zoom in here. Again, really simple, just few lines of code. You have the app object, which you've got after initialization. It's got a conversations manager interface. Create a meeting, give it a subject, give it an expiration time. There are a bunch of other properties which you can set, like access level, which you can read up online on MSDN. I'm just setting something basic here. Meeting expires 60 minutes from now. And then this is the key part. So I do meeting, online meeting URI.get. So when I do this get, it actually goes back to the server and says, OK, create this meeting for me. And then comes back to me with the completion of a URI. And this is the meeting URI. This is the scheduling part. You don't actually have to join the meeting right now. But if you need to join, this is how you do it. Same fancy style, creating a div, stick it in the HTML, and then you have the conversation control API. Render a conversation. Here is where I want to render it. Give the conversation ID, the meeting ID, and give it what modalities you want to join. So it could be chat, audio, video. As straightforward as that. That's all. So really straightforward. A few simple demos, I think. Very little code, as you can see. Most of it is handled by the Skype conversation UI. Fully fledged, very powerful, and I think this should help you easily bootstrap Skype communication on any little web app that you have. Thank you. I'll hand it back to Sri now.
Thank you, Sid. That was a very, very powerful demonstration on how to enable Skype conversation in 30 minutes or less. All of the functionality that you saw in here comes prepackaged in that UI control. So all you need to do is just a few simple lines of code, and these functionalities already prepared for you. And that's how simple it is to get started. With that, let's look at our Skype for Business app SDK. Amit is going to walk through the scenario and how to get started. It's extremely easy, just like how you saw the other one, and it's all yours.
Thanks, Sri. So just before I get started, a show of hands. How many people over here have worked with the app SDK, are familiar with iOS? Let's start with the app SDK. All right, a couple of folks. People familiar with iOS or Android programming? All right, great. So I'm going to spend a few minutes on the slides, and then we're going to do the code walkthroughs, and I'm going to talk about the banking app that you guys saw earlier on. So where does the app SDK stand as of now, as of today? So the main scenario that we decided to unblock with the work on the app SDK was the remote advisor scenario. And as you saw in the banking app, it's about an existing app that has that is already built in the App Store, either on iOS or on Android for your mobile and tablet devices. And then you want to embed communication endpoints into your customers' client applications. That is the main scenario that the app SDK is targeting as of now. We made a conscious decision to provide platform-specific projections as part of our SDK. So on iOS, we provide an Objective-C-based projection, and on Android, we provide a Java-based projection. In order to enable the remote advisor scenario, we support the user, the customer, joining in as a guest user. And the modalities that we have supported in the guest user join scenario are chat, audio, and video. One of the conscious efforts that we have made while building the app SDK is to make sure that the object model that we are building out and the APIs that we are building out for these object models, they align very closely to the web SDK. So if you are familiar with the web SDK programming model or the object model, you'll find a great deal of similarity of those objects even in the app SDK. So just a little bit of detail. This is probably the state of the existing app. There's a, as you saw, the Woodgrove banking app. It was a client app. It's available on the App Store. There is a backend Woodgrove banking service that supports the client interaction. The app auths itself. The customer is able to auth itself to the backend service. And Woodgrove has a Skype for Business deployments, which is for its own employees. Those are the authenticated endpoints, the Skype employees. And what we are looking to now enable is the scenario where you can embed the app SDK in the client application and provide the ability for this customer to talk to a Skype for Business endpoint, a Woodgrove Bank employee in the back end. So in order to make this thing possible, the expectation is that The Woodgrove banking service will be responsible for retrieving a meeting URL, which can be then pushed down to the Skype for Business app SDK. Once this URL is available, we are off and running. We provide all the available functionality needed to join the meeting as a guest user and to enable chat, audio, and video. So what you would get back is the conversation object, and along with that, the audio, video, and the chat service objects, which would then help you control the audio, video, and the chat modalities. So a little bit of more detail on what the object model looks like, and if you've worked with the web SDK, you'll find these things very similar to the web SDK. So we start out with the application object. It provides access to the configuration manager, which lets you control things like the number of video streams that you want to subscribe to, the maximum number of video streams. It also, the application endpoint also gives you the device manager, which lets you control the camera, the mic, and all of these things. Once you've seeded the application with the meeting URL, you can call join conference on the application instance, and that then starts revealing the rest of the conversation object model to you. You get back a handle to the conversation object, and underneath it, you have objects, and the conversation object has access to the self-participant, also known as the local participant, the collection of remote participants, the chat, audio, video service modalities, and the history service, which is essentially the collection of messages and events that have happened in this conversation. So having said that, let's dive into the code. And I will take you through the steps of So we'll go through the complete steps of getting started. Our documentation for the app SDK is up on the web. What you would need to do to get started first is to download our app SDK. Today, I'm going to walk you through the iOS development process. The link is available on MSDN. I've already pre-downloaded this and extracted this into my local folders. All right, the font went small, but here's what it extracts as. And if you can see, we have provided both the device-specific framework as well as the simulator framework. So you can use this in both those environments. There's a set of docs which mimic the MSDN documentation. There are a couple of helper files which I will talk about very shortly, and in fact, we'll use these helper files in our own demo. In the banking app demo. So having said that, the banking app is actually available to you on GitHub as a sample of how to integrate with the Skype for Business app SDK. It is just a sample. We'll walk through how that has been coded up. You're free to clone it into your local repository and work through it, modify it. Party on. The GitHub repository is available as part of the is available on the MSDN page also. So I've already cloned it locally, and I have. This is what the banking app opens up as. Let me see. Yeah. Can you guys see this very well? Okay. When you download the banking app from GitHub, it obviously will not have the Skype for Business framework added to it. This is something that I added by going to the embedded binaries section. You click the plus sign, you go to the folder where your device-specific framework is, add it, and the framework is now part of your banking app setup. So let's take a look of what the framework, the headers that the framework is bringing in. So as I showed you in the slide, the starting point is the. Is the application object model. It gives you access to the configuration manager and the device manager. But the main function that it exposes, the two main functions that it exposes, are the shared application instance. This is the application instance that you retrieve and work with when you're trying to interact with the Sky for Business app SDK. And the other function that it exposes is the join meeting anonymously with the URI functionality. So we expect the URI to be provided to this API. A display name can be provided, and that should kick off the entire meeting. As you notice, it returns a conversation object. And this is where you get access to the entire conversation tree. Here. So let's reduce that a little bit. The conversation object exposes the state of the conversation, a collection of remote participants, a direct access to the self-participant, which is you, the history service, chat service, audio service, video service, there's an optional subject, and then the can leave and the leave method. So leave is the method, and the can leave is a capability property that we have provided in every, that accompanies pretty much every action that we have exposed in the SDK. If true, you're free to call leave. If false, the action is not available to you. So this can be directly bound to some of your UI elements to enable or disable the button itself. For example, if you're in the conversation, you'll be allowed to leave the conversation. The can leave will be true, so that lets you light up the leave button. And if you're not connected to the conversation, this property will be false, and that lets you disable the UI button. So for every action that we have exposed in the app SDK, there's a can leave or a can action name property that's exposed to let you figure out the capability of that action at that given instance. All right, so I'm not going to go through all of these interfaces, but at a high level, participants, audio service, chat service, all of these are available. And if the developer is interested in building a very rich, nuanced integration with the app SDK, we suggest directly working with these header files, talking to these interfaces. But if you're looking for a very quick integration, then our suggestion is to use the two helpers that we provide in the app SDK itself. So these two headers, these two helper files are available in the app SDK. I've added those already to this project, and I'll walk you through what these things help you do. But essentially, they do a lot of the hard work or the underlying work of listening to the object notifications and bubbling them up to the UI. So you are free to leverage a partial set of these in order to build your app. Now, if you remember from the banking demo, what we had essentially lit up were two or three functionalities. We were joining a meeting. There was an end button to leave the meeting. And there was a mute button to toggle the audio status. So those are the three things that we surfaced up in that banking demo app. And it's a more lightweight integration as compared to the full-fledged integration that is possible through the app SDK. That's why, in this case, we are using the helpers, and I'll walk you through how we have achieved that integration. So let's go to the main storyboard. That should give you the overall, So this was the starting point. Remember, I had mentioned that we need to seed the meeting URL in the app SDK. This happens through the trusted API interface that Ganesh and David are going to present tomorrow. But for now, in order to get this app up and running, there is a different screen that accepts the meeting URL, which I've already programmed in the demo that I showed you. Once these are available and you have signed in, we are going to be at the main page of the banking application. There's an Ask Agent button that has been programmed, and if we selected the video connection. This is the web page. This is the view that is going to be lit up. It has the end functionality, the mute unmute functionality, and there if you look at the video chat scene, there are two views: the self view, which is the outgoing video view, and the participant view, which is the incoming video render surface that is going to be in a part of this view. So having given you this context, let's go back to the code, see how all of this comes together in code. So the main view controller, didn't mean to open that. So right when the main view controller loads, we are initializing Skype. As part of that, we get the shared application instance from the application object. We are configuring the max video channels to 1 as of now. And we are selecting the loudspeaker as the active endpoint. There's a delegate configuration that we have made. This receives the alerts that the application would throw in case the join was not successful. Next, let's look at, so we've configured the app. We sign in at this point of time. So let's see. So just to show you, this was the login screen. Okay. Is it showing up correctly? No, sorry. Give me 1 second. My QuickTime seems to have crashed. Okay, yeah. So let me go back. So this was the main bank's login screen. We added a shortcut to enter the meeting URL. This was ideally something that we would expect to be programmed in programmatically. And you can enter a display name. On. Select OK. And this is saved. So this would then get saved in, where's Xcode? Entering meeting control. This is the place where we would get the meeting display name and the and store it, set value, so that it's available for the rest of the for the later part of the application. So, going back to QuickTime, we sign in, and the Ask Agent interface is available to us. If we selected the video chat at this point of time, the video controller gets launched. And let's go back to the video controller. Here. So right in view. So as soon as the view appears, we are calling join meeting. And as part of join meeting, we extract the URL. We get the SFB app instance. We invoke join meeting anonymous with URI, providing it the URL and the display name. And that returns us the conversation object over here. Now, at this point of time, you have two options. Go directly start talking to the detailed header files that we have exposed as part of the framework, or use our helper. As I said, this was a lightweight integration, so we're going to use the helper to demonstrate this. The helper is a set of two things. It's an interface that exposes a very small set of actions that are actually spread over a bunch of headers in the app SDK. Since this was intended to show only a couple of things, we have the toggle audio muted functionality surfacing over here, which we are leveraging in our demo. There are a couple of extra functionalities which we have surfaced as an example of doing various things, but we are not actually using this in the demo. The init with conversation is invoked as soon as you are initializing the helper. It gets seeded with the conversation. It expects a delegate so that it can throw up notifications. Remember, this is a real-time app, and as things progress in the app SDK, state changes are surfaced up through to these to the delegate that is configured in this API. We expect the outgoing view, which is the UI view where the outgoing video will be rendered, and the incoming render surface that will be used by the media layer in as part of the app SDK to render the other participants' video. You don't have to do anything besides providing the view and the render surface. The media layer takes care of rendering these things once video is started. The other part of it, which I mentioned, was the delegate. Now, as you can see, we have configured this as an optional delegate, which means that once you write the delegate in your UI framework, not all of these delegate selectors need to be implemented by you. You can go ahead and select just two or three that you're interested in listening to. In our case, we are going to be listening to the can the video. The video service can start method. So once you've joined the meeting, the UI application in this case listens to the can start capability string, and moment the app SDK tells the UI that yes, we have joined the meeting successfully, we are at a point where video can be started. This is the notification that the UI code listens to, which I'm going to show you in a second. And at that point of time, it goes ahead and invokes start video. The other thing that we use in our code is the audio. As you saw, there was a mute button. So in order to know whether you are currently muted or not, that is the notification that we listen to. Is muted, change, is thrown up to the UI. And based on that, we render the right value whether you are now allowed to mute or unmute the audio channel. So let's look at this code in the UI controller. So as I said, we are using the conversation helper. We seeded with the conversation. The controller itself is the delegate. We are providing the UI view and the render surface over here. And we are adding an external observer for can leave, which is going to be used for the end button. This is not a part of the helper. We have programmed it externally. So you can mix all of these things. So let's look at this code next. So remember, we have called join meeting. We are now waiting for a notification to come up from the helper telling us that the video has started, that you are now capable of starting video. So if can start is true, if the app SDK tells us can start is true, we go ahead, we expose the outgoing video UI view, and we call start on the video service. The moment we do that, video channel gets set up. Audio is always started automatically internally as part of starting video. It's a default action available as part of the SDK. You don't need to do anything special. And the video call gets set up with the remote participant. Two other things that we saw in the UI was the end button. So there is an end button in the UI that directly is bound to this method in the controller. And when clicked, we can go ahead and call conversation.leave to exit the conversation. And we remove ourselves as an observer of more events on the can leave button. Some failure code over here. The other button that we saw was toggle mute. So when the mute button is pressed, we go ahead and call the toggle mute functionality in the helper. Let's take a look at what this exactly does. So here in the helper, we are reading the isMuted property of self audio and negating it and then setting it back in the app SDK. That's all we need to do. This is already provided to you in the app SDK. The view controller over here is also listening for this notification. So if mute status changes, we come in and we change the title of the mute button. So let's run through the demo again so that this all comes together. She's going to join the, So we were at the Ask Agent button. We decided to go with the video chat, so this loads the video controller. Internally, now we have been notified that video is can start is available. So we go ahead, we went ahead and called video service.start. So this enabled video, and both the customer is now connected to the other remote endpoint. The mute functionality is actually, let's see if we can get an echo going. Hello? 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 I don't know if you guys hear that. Yep. And the last functionality that we coded up was the end button in here. So that's all I have for the app SDK. The summary is the conversation helper is available to you if you want to do a very quick integration, and you can selectively choose the functionality that you want to integrate with. The delegates are available. Most of the delegates have been coded up in the helper, but you can choose to listen to only a handful of them that are really needed in the UI. And if you're really interested in a full, extensive, nuanced integration, go ahead and work with the headers that are part of the app SDK directly. And since we have a little bit of time left, we have one more demo that I'm going to let Sri seed it for you.
All right, thanks, Amit. That was really detailed and very useful, and hopefully you guys are now very familiar with how to get started and get coding with the app SDK. We have one final demo to show here today. It's a very new underdevelopment scenario here. Let me see if I can switch it over. What's the number? Four. Give it a second. Okay, obviously, this is not the right number for this guy. Which is the Miracast number here? Four doesn't pick up. Okay, I'm just gonna wave it over and see if you guys can make it out. So the scenario we have also started lighting up in our app SDK is very similar to the scenarios you saw on the web SDK side, which is if you wanna have embedded conversations from within your line of business app, can you do that with the app SDK? Let's see a demo, and you guys will know what are the next things we're working on. Do you want us to wait a second? We're good? Okay. Okay. Sounds good. So, this is a homegrown demo app here. The display isn't functioning at this point, so I'm just going to see if this we can make this work. So, it's a homegrown app here. This has embedded app SDK. We have authenticated, we are going to be authenticating using Skype for Business online again. Like we said before, both the web and the app SDK work with the on-prem server as well as the online. We have all the rich new capabilities that are coming prior first in the Skype for Business online. So we have signed in. Now I'm just going to be showing an audio call, starting an audio call here. Into this endpoint, and let's see. It'd be good if you can get it projected, though. We have 5 minutes. Let's see. Yeah, that'd be great. Give us a second while we get this enabled. trying to get this one. Can you project this? All right, almost there. Well, our audio call is already connected. You guys can hear the echo. And the display is still not loading up fully. No? Okay. Okay. I think the MiraCast device isn't picking it up. Okay, that's fine. So again, I'm just gonna wave this over and hopefully you guys can see what we're doing. But basically that is the scenario. We have started working on our next embedded scenarios for App SDK, which is how do you actually enable line of business apps using your for your company, for your enterprise using the App SDK. With that, I think we're open for questions. Yes, please. So the question here, I'm going to repeat the question for the webcast. Remote advisor scenario generally requires application sharing. How are we going about it? We're working on all of those fronts. We will actually give you an update when we have something, but we are actively making progress and doing in-house development on all those fronts.
Near future.
Yes, sir. So UWP is something that, so question again, App SDK for UWP. UWP is something that is definitely in our roadmap. We have already started working on iOS and Android, and we want to make sure we get it to a certain feature set, and we have all of these things that are coming up after that. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes, it is in the I can actually show it to you.
Give me a sec. Can you repeat the question?
Let's do this offline.
So the question was, so when I walked through setting up the Azure AD application, I'd shown you a bunch of reply URLs and then said that you should configure these reply URLs so that AD redirects back to the app. And the question was whether that was documented. I think I can show that to you offline maybe.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
I was curious, did the web SDK support updating things like presence and location?
The question was, does web SDK support updating things like presence and location? Yes, it does. In fact, that is all available for production use that we released earlier this year. Again, those are some of the scenarios that we are working on in the pipeline, and we'll be enabling them. The question was whether we can share images via the SDKs. Yes, sir. So the question is it just chat, video, and audio that we can use? Are you specifically asking about the web or the app at this point? So for web SDK, yes, you can definitely do the presence, the chat, and the audio video. There are nuances as in what is it that you can use in your development app versus what is it that you can use in your production app. You should go read that up in MSDN. We have all of that documented. So the question was, do all of these run on-prem? Yes, they both are supported on-prem. They both run on-prem. But please do note, any newer capabilities that we enable, we will primarily target online first, and then based on the requirement, we will look at adding that in the on-prem. I didn't get your question.
Can you bulk add contacts or batch them? Right now, we don't have that enabled. But I mean, it's not a big deal, actually. Most of the requests, the SDK takes care of batching in the stack layer. So if you just do a bunch of add contacts, it'll take care of batching it. So each one will not be a request by itself. So we optimize that for you.
We have about 3 seconds to go. One more question, one final question. So if I understand your question, are you asking about whether this would enable you to write hunt groups, call groups for online? Depending on the scenario, we have, right now what we have shown here is the capabilities that the SDK does. It is not like natively you can actually just write a hunt group directly with the two SDKs that we have demonstrated here. We have you need a couple of other APIs as well. If you are interested, you should actually go to tomorrow morning 9 a.m. session that are presented by our two colleagues. They'll talk a little bit about writing server-side apps that could help you with some of these things. That is one of the scenarios that will be lit up. The question was, is it what can be used for a call center app? So the server-side APIs, that's one of the scenarios that you could use it for. Could you repeat your question?
Call quality reports you're talking about. Yes, I don't know about the web. So WebSDK does it. We publish call quality reports as part of each call. So it's not visible to you, but we should be able to track it on a macro basis on the server, yes.
We are at time. We need to let the room for the next speakers. We'll be available here and outside, so if you have additional questions, we are happy to answer them. And thank you all for attending our session.
Thank you.